Also, just a quick update here on the COVID-19 situation. In case you missed the news yesterday, no new cases of the virus were reported yesterday. That was the third straight day in a row without a new case. And there are still two active cases here in the province, both in the Eastern Health Region, both self-isolating right now.
We're going to look at schools first, though, right?
Yeah, and this is a really big issue. We were expecting to hear more this week, but here we are. We're talking about some of the nerves that parents are feeling, students, teachers, anyone that is basically connected to the school system has been waiting for answers on the start of the school year. Yesterday, CBC learned that the province's English school district is delaying the release of its detailed back-to-school plan. The provincial government is giving the district last-minute public health instructions that will likely impact the plan. Now, it's all happening while just south of the border, we're seeing stories emerging about COVID-19 spreading among students and teachers who have already returned to school. It's a lot to take in. The Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association believes it is making parents nervous and could explain the uptick in interest in homeschooling. Dean Ingram is the president of the NLTA, and he's on the line now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
So, Dean, you've gone as far as saying that you see this surge in interest in homeschooling as, quote, a vote of non-confidence in the government's K-12 education reentry plan. Why are you connecting these two things?
Well, I'm connecting these, but I think that's the most obvious conclusion. I mean, traditionally, we've had very little uptick by comparison in homeschooling. So what is it about this year that's driving the conversations? That conclusion is drawn because the conversations parents have had directly, and they've said it, those exact phrasing. They are considering homeschooling because they have concerns of what their children could potentially be facing in the fall with return to school. So the connection is made because that's the connection that parents are telling me that they're making.
So how much interest are you seeing out there now on homeschooling? And I mean, is there any data to kind of help us understand?
My entire data set is all qualitative. I haven't seen the quantitative. So to get a quantitative indication, we'd have to look at the number of actual applications. I've seen on various media outlets with parents that have spoken directly to different media outlets, indicating exactly that they are considering that. I've seen a story last night that ran, and various news stories through print and online, based here in the province, where parents are communicating they have concerns, something they are considering. Very recent, albeit a straw poll done by a media outlet, indicated a significant uptick. Was it 50%? No. But again, I want to stress is that traditionally, as province, we typically have less than 100 students engaging in homeschooling. And that's something, even having that communication of asking the questions, because homeschooling is something that's, it's not the same as remote learning. It requires a significant commitment from the home. It can requires a significant expertise in the home. So for parents to be looking at even exploring the idea, taking on that commitment, speaks to the degree and the angst that those parents are feeling.
What do you think it's rooted in? Is it concerned about safety? Is it concerned about education? What are you hearing?
What I'm hearing, it revolves clearly around safety. One thing, it's become clear that the government's reentry plan to date does not meet the expectations for safety for students and buildings that we see present in all other public venues. And I can refer back to the statements made by the healthcare officials in the most recent briefing. And while it's not an exact quote, I know that was referenced that we're not supposed to have large groups of individuals in small rooms for a long period of time with poor ventilation. That's a description of many of our province's classrooms. When I hear a statement made that we need to keep children in smaller groups, that references the concerns with class size. The fact is, it's impossible for the districts, the Francophone or the Anglophone, to put in plan measures that address safety, given the parameters that we've seen to date. Now, with the announcement that the plan is being delayed, I am hopeful that what we will see is enhanced rigor in health safety measures, guidance, directions, and resourcing to allow the districts to put in place a plan that addresses the health and safety concerns that we have. This province has done exceptionally well in crushing the curve. It's really flattened it. We've done and I think a lot of the credit has to go to our healthcare authorities to get to this point. But going forward regards education and the inconsistency we see, that's problematic. Now, I was pleased to hear Dr. Hagee referenced the fact that healthcare authorities are not educators. They do not have the expertise that's needed. So in order to get that, those that are charged with putting the plan in place would be very well served to consult with those who do, that being our teachers, our principals, our educators, but not only to hear from them, but actually implement what's then. These are things that educators, teachers, principals, administrators at large need to see the plan. They need to provide the opportunity for feedback on the plan, and that feedback be adequately implemented post-feedback.
You know, as for reasons for the delay, yesterday PC leader Chas Crosby said that he thinks it has to do with the transition of power in the premier seat with no boss at the top. And he also mentioned that there's been lots of time to sort this out since school was out in you know, back in March. What do you make of his assessment of the situation?
I don't know if I wouldn't be prepared to make a commentary on what the reason is behind, as Mr. Crosby did. I mean, but I would suggest that I am hopeful that the reason for the delay is really around the idea of having more rigor coming forward from government to provide additional support, guidance to the districts to implement an effective plan. In terms of timing of it, one criticism we've made is that a lot of decisions have made with adequate foresight and planning early on the game. But right now, we are where we are. School is starting within 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. And while there's time to actually put in place a plan that will allow for the start to a productive school year, that clock is ticking.
How is all this impacting teachers?
Teachers are frustrated, which mirrors the frustration of parents and students, school administrators. They are getting very anxious about what is to face them, just as parents are. Teachers need to make the necessary preparations, and the longer this goes on, the more that anxiety will rise. Not only are teachers concerned about the adequate plan, they're concerned about their own health and safety. Again, you referenced the situation we have in various jurisdictions. In Israel, they opened with adequate measures, and they had to have a setback. In the U.S., it's well documented, the situation in Georgia. Most of us probably saw the clip, the picture that was floating around, but a packed school, which all of a sudden had shut down because of a surge in cases. Our school system is fragile. We need to have a system that's resilient, that can stay open when we have the flare-ups that will inevitably happen. We need to ensure the plans are put in place, that those necessary measures are there. And right now, these are the questions being asked. I think in soothing confidence, we need to have the right plan that will address the confidence issue for our teachers, our parents, and our students. It's important to get it right. It's too important not to. And I can draw an analogy on insurance. I buy my car insurance not because I'm planning on having an accident. I'm buying insurance in case I do. We cannot, my grandfather always used the expression, we always plan for the worst and hope for the best. What I see to date, we're all hoping for the best. We all want things to turn normal.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't continue to simply plan for the best as well. We have to plan for what may not be the best.
Well, let's talk about it just quickly. I mean, some of the top bullet points that you're going to want to see on that reentry plan that you think are going to make parents, students, and teachers feel safe about reentering schools again.
I think there would need to be clarification on sanitation to ensure that districts have access to necessary resources to ensure sanitation procedure within the school. I think we need to see something around the busing range. What will that look like? We need to have something put in place along those lines. We need to have measures put in place to limit class sizes. Again, people, space, time, and place. So what parents will need to see, teachers will need to see, students will need to see, are plans that take into account what we've been hearing since March is needed for a safe environment. If we can have a marrying and a consistency between what we see in other public venues, and not to harbor on this too much, mm-hmm. but I think back to the Liberal Leadership Convention.
Mm-hmm.
The building was there, a convention center, which had a maximum of 50 people in there. How does that status, that stance, align with what we see in our current school system?
Is
addressing
it?
The inconsistencies would go a long way.
Absolutely. Dean, good question. And certainly we're going to be following and we'll be listening closely for when that plan comes back. And I'm sure we'll be checking in with you once again. Thank you very much for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
That is Dean Ingram, the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association.